Welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, brought to you by TournamentPokerEdge.com, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to poker tournament strategy. Now here's your host, Clayton Fletcher.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, sponsored by ACR Poker, where right now we are in the middle of the High Five series. All the tournaments are named after things I don't understand, like Bud this and, I don't know, Green that. Anyway, every day at 4:20, we take a 10-minute break, and I don't even know why. We've also got our TPE free roll this Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Be there or be square. And don't forget, Venom Fever is catching on. We've got a $12.5 million tournament beginning next month on April 14th. It's a $26.50 buy-in. It is actually the biggest poker tournament ever to be played in these United States. My name is Clayton Fletcher, and I'm home in beautiful New York City. And I want to thank you guys, first off, right off the bat here, let's say thank you for all of your very kind comments and remarks about last week's episode, which featured the one and only Caitlin Komeski, who is just really tearing it up. She was very open and honest with us about her recent struggles. Prior to the upswing that she's on right now, she had gone through a $50,000 downswing, and we talked about that a little bit before diving into some hands that she had played in the World Poker Tour Championship out in Las Vegas back in December, which actually proved to be the beginning of her current fiery upswing. I'm wishing Caitlin all the best of luck. Looking forward to seeing her and maybe some of you out in Vegas this summer. I don't know who's planning on appearing at the Horseshoe or the Wynn or the Golden Nugget or wherever else you might be playing this summer, but let me know. You can tweet me at Clayton Comic. You can also fire up the Discord. That's right, the TPE Discord is absolutely free. You can find out everything you need to know. You can share information with your fellow TPE members and friends, the TPE Nation, if you will. We're all talking about what's going on ACR and out in Vegas this coming summer. And also, the Discord is the place to find out what's going on with the TPE free roll. Each and every Sunday, well, almost every Sunday anyway, we give away $1,000 absolutely free, courtesy of our sponsor, ACR Poker. And all the details are shared within the Discord in the free roll tab on the Tournament Poker Edge Discord. So just click the link in the description of this podcast and you will be in the know. All right, well, today I'd like to start off with a review of the hand that Caitlin and I discussed. That's Caitlin Komeski. She's one half of the Ace Holes podcast. She's also just a rising star in the poker world in her own right. And on the hand in question, she opened from the button. Now, I want to review this hand again. Caitlin was on day three of the WPT Championship in fabulous Las Vegas at my favorite place, the Wynn Resort. She's made it to day three. There were something like 100 players left with millions and millions of dollars up top. She only had about 26 big blinds at the time when the blinds were 10K, 15K with a 15K big blind ante, which she had already paid in the big blind. And the button opened and Caitlin held the ace of clubs, 10 of hearts, and she chose to just flat call. She explained that she wanted to keep his lesser hands in, and other reasons why she played that way. I remember on last week's episode, I questioned whether or not it would be better to 3-bet, possibly even shove with the ace 10 off, rather than see a flop with such a short stack. Well, we ran this through GTO Wizard, and guys, I don't know if you're using GTO Wizard yet, but it's the easiest way to improve your poker game. You can study different spots, really any spot. You know, you can say how many big blinds there were, whether it's an ICM situation, whether it's a cash game, it really doesn't matter. And what each player should do from their various positions on a given flop or before the flop. And you can just go through and kind of see what the artificial intelligence has discovered about No Limit Hold'em. GTO Wizard is incredibly easy to use. I still use Skype to record with like Caitlin and anybody else who is a remote guest on the podcast. It's all about Skype for me because I just don't know anything about technology. I don't know how to send an email or restart my computer, but I figured out how to put my hands into GTO Wizard and practice different spots. They have drills already set up. It's a really great tool that you can use to help you master Texas Hold'em. And for a limited time, you can save 10% on your first purchase by clicking the link in the description of this podcast, and you can join the GTO Wizard family. You can try it for free for a while, and then when you're ready to join and sign up, the first time you buy, if you click the link in the description, when the first time you go on there, and when you purchase something, you save 10% by using our special affiliate link. And I highly recommend it. It's really improving my game, as you will see. So anyway, getting back to this Ace 10. So it's a button open. She's got about 26, 27 big blinds in the big blind. And she just called. Well, the wizard literally always shoves. It's a 100% shove versus a button open in the MTT world. So that was a bit of a surprise to me. You know, the guy only opened for two big blinds, and now she's just going to stick in 30. But if you think about it, by the time he opens, there's already 40,000 in the middle. And now this guy puts in another 30. So there's 70,000 in there at that point, and she shoves for 420,000. So, I mean, it is a lot. You're laying 6-1 to take it down. But I guess the idea is that you probably won't be called, because the button has a pretty wide range. And when you are called, Ace 10 is actually doing just fine against the culmination, conglomeration, if you will, of all the hands that make that that call. So when that happens, there you go. You've got Ace 10 versus whatever the heck he's got, which could include pocket sevens, pocket eights, pocket nines, possibly even King Queen suited, which we're actually beating. Maybe even Ace 5 suited would make the call. I don't think so, but possibly. But the bottom line is, it's better to shove and take it down a lot than it is to call and see a flop from out of position with Ace 10 offsuit. So for that reason, I'm actually unable to go through the rest of the hand because she never should have Ace 10 at any other point going forward. So let's be mindful of what we can learn from GTO Wizard. No one's perfect. Caitlin is an excellent player, but even she makes mistakes. So I want to move on to review another hand. This one is going to be from the $109 Mystery Bounty Tournament that we actually discussed here on the podcast 2 weeks ago. Because we had Caitlin on last week, I didn't want to go over one of my hands with her. I thought that would be not the best use of our time. So I'm going to go back to the hand that we discussed on the episode from 2 weeks ago, which would be March 1st. Yeah, March 1st. So we're going to review the hand quickly, and this time I'll let you know what GTO Wizard thinks of my play on day two of the $109 Mystery Bounty Tournament. The blinds were 700 and 1400, and I had lost a bit of my starting stack. You guys may recall that I entered day two action second in chips with like 750 players-ish remaining, and I had lost about a third of that. And I was down to 248,000, which is still almost 200 big blinds, doing great despite all the carnage and gambling I had been doing. I hadn't collected any bounties at this point. A loose aggressive player opens under the gun to 2,800 off of a stack of 60,000. So about 43 bigs there. And the action folded to me in the small blind. I decided to just flat call here. I remember saying on the podcast 2 weeks ago that I really didn't want to get all 43 of my big blinds in there, or of this player's big blinds in there, with just ace-queen. I felt like whenever I did against this particular player, I would probably be pretty far behind. Maybe a hand like pocket kings, ace-king, pocket aces would be most of his range for, you know, continuing if I were to three bet. So for that reason, I just called. I knew I'd have to see a flop from out of position with the ace-queen offsuit but I thought that was better under these circumstances. And if I'm being honest, maybe I just kind of wanted to stop the bleeding. And we had so many very short stacks at that table. There was one guy with like 20,000, one guy with 17,000, this guy had 60,000. So I didn't really want to risk a quarter of my stack with ace queen. And I knew I would, just because it's worth it to try to get the bounty. So I wanted to kind of hit the flop first and see what might develop. So I decided to call from the small blind. At that point, the big blind folded. And by the way, the GTO wizard actually approves of my call, but only 17% of the time. And the other 83% of the time, we're doing a raise that is not a shove. Just a smallish kind of three bet, standard size three bet off of 43 big blinds. So I found that interesting. You are allowed to call, but it's not the most common play. It's what we call a low frequency option. So I made that low frequency option and I saw a flop of 8-7 deuce rainbow. And now with 8,400 in the middle, opponent had 55K behind. I checked and my opponent checked behind. The solver, GTO Wizard, always checks in my shoes on this flop. So we check and he checked. So we got to see a free turn card, which was the Queen of Diamonds. So on that card, I decided to go for a donk lead. I remember saying here on the podcast that I was thinking our opponent would be able to make the call with a worse queen, something like Queen Jack, Queen 10, and probably wouldn't call with much worse anyway. So I bet kind of big, I guess, 5K into 8,400. And the solver actually checks about half the time, which is surprising. But I guess you just want to keep giving the original raiser a chance to take a stab at the pot. So we are supposed to check here about half the time. And when the solver decides to bet the other half the time, it's all different sizes, but mostly small. The sizing I chose, which was like 3/4 of the pot, only about 5% of the time. So I'm not giving myself points for that choice and that decision there. But anyway, I did bet 5K into 8,400, which resulted in a call from our opponent, who now had 18,400 and left himself with another 49,000 behind, so roughly 3 SPR. And the river came the 9 of hearts, at which point I decided to go for an overbet. I'm still trying to get value from hands like King Queen, Queen Jack, etc., etc. And I did this overbet about 150% of the pot, 27,000 into about 18,000. And my opponent shoved for 22,000 more. So let's look at the numbers here. How often does the overbet happen? Well, the solver checks on this river even 50% of the time. When it gets to the point where we've gotten, you're supposed to check about half the time, even though you still have top pair, top kicker. Another 1/3 of the time, the solver bets about 30% of the pot, and the rest is a mix, with the overbet happening only 4% of the time. So I'm picking all of these, let's call them low-frequency plays in this hand, and as you guys know by now, it didn't work out for me. Opponent shoved for just 22K more. I felt pot committed. I thought there was some chance I could still be ahead of a hand like King Queen. I'm not sure how true that is. I called getting about 4-1 and lost to Jack of Hearts, 10 of Hearts for a rivered straight. So versus the shove, once you have overbet and then it's just a little bit more to call, the wizard still folds about 70% of the time and calls about 30% of the time. So overall, I would say that hand, my play in that hand would not be GTO Wizard approved. But you know what, guys? That's why we use the program. That's what it's all about. You can enter all your hands. You can look at your spots. You can actually upload your hands and have the program analyze your play and find holes in your game, which I am finding obviously extremely helpful as I can go through and figure out what's wrong with my game and why I'm not the biggest winner on ACR poker. So let me know what you guys think about GTO Wizard and the way we've been going through the hands. Again, I'm on Twitter at Clayton Comic, or you can just hit me up on the TPE Discord. You can post publicly there. It's a really good time. So here we go. We're going to continue on with our long card daily double from a couple of weeks ago. This was the tournament. I believe I end up final tabling this thing. Spoiler alert. If I didn't final table, I got really far, really close to doing so. I had pretty much been crushing it all along. This tournament has a $55 buy-in, and I think you can unlimited rebuy for the first 3 hours or whatever. It's got a $15,000 or maybe a $25,000 guarantee. I should probably have my story straight before we get started. But anyway, in this hand, we're going to continue where we left off. And the blinds were 700 and 1400 with a 175 ante per person. This table, at least for the moment, was seven-handed. We weren't quite in the money, but we were getting a little bit close. Not quite bubble time yet. I had 125,000 and the average was only 65,000. So we were doing great. I had my whole table covered, all six opponents, and I was feeling good. So the action folded to me in the cutoff with the ace of diamonds, queen of spades. I mean, obviously, we're going to open the cutoff. The button had like 30,000 and the small blind had like 100,000 and the big blind had about 60,000. So all different stack sizes here. I opened just for the minimum to 2,800. You can certainly go a little bigger if you want to, especially in position. There's nothing wrong with building a little pot in position, but I decided to open to 28. The button folded and the small blind called with 100K behind and the big blind folded. Now, this player and I had only been tangling for like five or six hands. I really didn't have any information about him. That small blind call, though, is typically a fairly big hand. A lot of us know we don't want to get involved from the small blind because you'll have to play from out of position for the rest of the hand. So he should have a hand that should be about as strong as ace-queen if he knows what he's doing, which, by the way, there's no guarantee on that part whatsoever. So now with 6,800 in the middle, the big blind had folded, so we're going to be heads up. And the flop came six of diamonds, five of hearts, four of diamonds. 6-5-4, hero with the ace of diamonds, queen of spades. So I've got two overcards and a backdoor nut flush draw for what it's worth. Opponent checked to me. I'm probably going to check this a lot, even though I'm in position, even though I can represent big pairs and things like that. It's actually a much better flop for a small blind or big blind calling range than it is for my opening range. Now, if I didn't have that ace of diamonds, I think I could pretty much always check back. But given that I have, you know, backdoor possibilities, etc., I decided to put in a little bet and see if I could just take it down with no fight. And when I say little, guys, I mean a little bet. I put in 1,400 into the 6,800 pot, which is just, you know, a quarter of the pot. And more importantly, it's the minimum bet. The one big blind bet should take it down a lot when he completely missed the flop with a hand like queen nine of clubs or something like that. Anyway, he called, and now we're going to see a turn card with 9,600 in the pot. The turn came the king of spades, and my opponent checked again. So actions on Clayton on a board of 6-5-4 king with two diamonds, one heart, and one spade. We have the ace of diamonds, queen of spades. Do you want to bet again? Is this a card that you would fire a second barrel with, having your one big blind bet having been called on the flop? Before I tell you what I did, I want to talk for just a minute about ACR Poker. I love ACR Poker. I've been playing on the site for 15 years. I've never once had a problem getting my money. If I do a cash out, like many of you know, I recently did. I cashed out several thousand dollars, went straight to my Bitcoin wallet, and it's never been a problem. I have no trouble getting money on or off the site. I love the wide variety of games that they have. It's a really great US-facing poker site that you should get on. For now, if you guys are interested, what I want you to do is click the link in the description of this podcast and you can receive a first-time deposit bonus of 100% of your deposit up to $2,000 just by clicking that link and then using the promo code TPE. I think you'll be glad you did. You can come and join the fun, get involved. maybe try to run up a bankroll so that you can buy into this $12.5 million Venom next month on ACR Poker. So just to review, we're on the turn. The King of Spades hits the board, 6-5-4 King, and we have Ace Queen, no pair, no draw, and opponent checks after having check called a one big blind bet on the turn. Do we want to fire another barrel at this point? Well, I think you certainly can. I mean, he could have some straight draws, maybe a hand like Ace 3, a suited that might have called from the small blind, maybe something like 7-9 suited. Probably shouldn't have called from the small blind, but you never know. In these $50 ACR tournaments, especially against an unknown opponent, you can't really put people on GTO ranges necessarily. I don't know what other hands we could be beating. Maybe a random diamond draw that's just slow playing and doesn't check raise on the flop. Maybe like Jack 9 of diamonds that flopped a diamond draw is theoretically possible. Overall, I don't know what we can really get to fold. If he's got a piece of this board, I don't think he's going to fold for one bet when the king comes on the turn. That said, that king is a way better card for the raiser than it is for the caller in the small blind. He shouldn't have very much King X in his range at all. And so that's actually an argument for making a move here and firing that second barrel at it. I chose not to. I just wanted to try to check down my ace high. I think it could be good a lot. Maybe we'll induce a bluff on the river. I don't know. Can we even call a bluff with ace queen? I don't know if we should. But I decided to check behind. But like, let's just acknowledge there are other plays available that could be good. So I chose to check. I'll be interested to run this hand for next week's episode through GTO Wizard and see what the wizard has to say about my decision to check it back when a card that is better for my range than for my opponent's range hit on 4th Street. Anyway, we did both check. There's still 9,600 in the middle, and the river comes the King of Hearts. For the final board of 6 of diamonds, 5 of hearts, 4 of diamonds, King of spades, King of hearts. And now our opponent leads out for 4,000 into the pot of 9,600. So just about 40% of the pot, just a smidge over that. And so I'm getting a little worse than 3-1 on a call. So does ace queen work for us as a bluff catcher? I mean, first of all, with the king going king, king, runner, runner, kind of makes me feel like it's not a great card for our opponent to bluff at all and that he shouldn't have that many bluffs. It's like if he didn't bet the turn when the king hit, why is he suddenly betting the river when the king hit? I don't know. I guess my curiosity got the best of me and I decided to make the call. I felt like ace queen was good enough and that maybe I could beat like a random seven. Or, like I said before, perhaps a busted diamond draw, although having the ace of diamonds does diminish that a bit. And I got owned. My opponent turns over the ace of clubs, five of spades, and got maximum value for middle pair on the 6-5-4 flop. So that was kind of a disappointing hand at this point in the tournament, but it didn't cost me that much. But I like to look at these smaller pots once in a while. Lots of podcasts, people will talk about the biggest pots they played and all the huge things that happened while they were playing. I'm here to talk about the little things that happen over and over and over, because if we get these things right, you're like, how often are you going to have a straight flush? How often are you going to have four of a kind? How often are you going to be facing a river bet after you check back on the turn? That happens way more often. So it's more important that we learn how to navigate these spots and play them well. I'm not sure how I feel about my call. I'm eager to find out what GTO Wizard has to say, especially with no reads on my opponent. This might be a spot to just let ace-queen go right into the muck rather than getting absolutely value-towned by the ace-five. I'm interested to know what you guys think about that. I'm hoping that all of us can be together this Sunday on twitch.tv/killingbird, which is where we're going to have the TPE free roll this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern. We're giving away $1,000 courtesy of ACR Poker. Guys, let me know what you're up to. Tell me when I'm going to see you in Vegas. Who's going to Vegas this summer? Where are you going to be? What are you excited to play? How much money are you planning to win or lose? And let me know everything on Twitter at Clayton Comic or in the TPE Discord. And that'll do it for this episode, guys. For everyone here at Tournament Poker Edge, and with special thanks, as always, to our very generous sponsor, ACR Poker. I'm Clayton Fletcher. Thank you so much for listening.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me. Luck and intuition, play the cards with babes to start. And after she's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on her heart. Love nobody. Yeah.